More than 3 weeks since the launch of the most complicated aspects of the Affordable Care Act, federal and state-based health care exchanges, the website healthcare.gov, you may have heard that things are not exactly going as smoothly as, say, unpacking a brand new shiny smartphone.
Things like error messages that may appear on a screen or certain pages going blank, things freezing. Those are the kinds of things that we are prioritizing in terms of putting in place software fixes.
Julie Batte there, communications director of the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, just one of the conference calls, part of the federal effort to get the problems with the Affordable Care Act under control. But we want to step away from the federal finger-pointing and the macro outrage over all of this and actually see what's happening in local communities. We'd love to hear, for instance, how healthcare may be changing in your own neighborhood from all of this. How is the ACA rollout going in your home state? You can call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. There are huge differences around the country, as you're going to see now. First, take Texas. We welcome Veronica Zaragovia, KUT reporter from KUT Austin. Welcome, Veronica.
Thank you. Hi, John.
It's great to talk to you. In Texas, I gather it sounds like this.
We've had individuals say they've tried to sign up, the website is busy or not working at all. But if we give it a few weeks and we go back, that you're going to have a better chance at, you know, getting through. But not to give up, because there, not only can you go through the internet, you can go through the mail, you can apply in person, you can also apply via the telephone.
So, Veronica, who's talking there, and is don't give up the message in Texas right now?
Yes, that's Angelica Noyola, and she is with a group, Latino Healthcare Forum, here in Austin, that's very active about the outreach to the Latino community. And that's their message, don't give up. And they're not emphasizing the website because in some parts of Austin, for instance, one very low-income Latino neighborhood, Dove Springs, one out of two people are either not computer literate or don't have a computer. So they're emphasizing the 1-800 number and the paper application.
And really the issue there is not so much the website, but enabling the experts and the person-to-person infrastructure to try to get the message out.
Absolutely. And what's been really interesting is to see, you know, who's taking a lead and helping inform people. For instance, what's really interesting, last night here in Austin, Univision had from 5 p.m. till about 10 p.m., each hour they had a one-minute cut into the programming where they were urging viewers to call a 1-800 number where they could get help from a certified application counselor with questions. And so that's one example of people filling the gap.
Well, hold on there for just a moment. Veronica Zaragovia at KUT in Austin, Texas. Next up, Ohio. Joe Inglis is reporter and producer for Ohio Public Radio's Statehouse News. Hello, Joe.
Hello.
So Ohio has a really unique story, and we're going to let Amy Farnsworth from Athens County, Ohio, help us tell it.
While I care for my son and my husband and am the only person who can take them to their appointments, which are about 2 hours away for each of them, I cannot take advantage of the Affordable Care Act.
Now, Amy Farnsworth was talking about Medicaid expansion, which the legislature was resisting in Ohio, and it was affecting her, Amy, who spoke with us 3 weeks ago, directly. That situation, Joe Inglis, has really changed all of a sudden.
It has. You know, the situation has been that we didn't have the Medicaid expansion through the legislature. The Republican legislature didn't want to do it, didn't pass it, didn't like it in the form that it was proposed by the governor. So the governor went around to a legislative panel, and he was able to use that panel to get the legislative expansion. Now we have a lawsuit because the people who filed the lawsuit said it wasn't constitutional to use that panel to get Medicaid expansion in this way. And people like Amy, though, are very happy because they're going to be able, as it stands right now, to get the Medicaid expansion that they wanted.
And has John Kasich, the governor there, the Republican governor, the conservative Tea Party favorite governor there in Ohio, made this a cause célèbre?
Well, I don't know if he's exactly the Tea Party favorite right now because a lot of those conservatives are very upset with him. But, you know, his take on this is he thinks it's the right thing to do. He thinks that you need to expand Medicaid because there are a lot of people in Ohio who are not covered right now. And it will also Ironically, the state's figures show it will save $400 million in Ohio by expanding. So even one of the Republicans who was on that legislative panel that passed the Medicaid expansion through this controlling board process, that Republican is proposing a tax cut, an income tax cut, with the $400 million.
Interesting. $400 million. That's real money. Joe English, reporter and producer for Ohio Public Radio State House News. Hang on there for a second. And here's the sound in the state of Vermont, a state that is unique for a lot of reasons politically. Charlotte Albright is a reporter for Vermont Public Radio. Welcome, Charlotte.
Thank you.
Here's the sound of the ACA story in Vermont.
I know I personally was panicking. And, you know, I picked up the attitude that, forget it, I'm just not going to do health insurance. But it actually went very smoothly, and I'm very happy with it.
They're smiling in Vermont, Charlotte Albright? Who's that?
No, only Louisa Olson. That is whom we just heard from. Some people are smiling and some people aren't. Louisa works for a housing authority, and I met her at a sign-up session at her employer's. One of the reasons she's smiling is that she was able to log in, but at some point in that process, she had to use paper forms. So that's one thing that Vermont is still working on. The website is getting better, but it's still not quite there. The other reason she's smiling is that her employer is quite generous. They're going to kick in 80% of her monthly premium, which is about $400. So she was pleasantly surprised. I can't say every employer is doing that, but I will say that a lot of them are trying to come up with enough money to bridge any gaps that might exist between what employees are used to and what they're about to get.
So to the three of you, what do you think accounts for the differences that we've heard? Joe Inglis?
Well, I think one of the things that we have here in Ohio that maybe other states are not struggling with is we have a Republican legislature that really has not warmed up to the idea at all. But we do have key Republican office holders, including our governor, who likes the idea. So it's kind of here in Ohio, we're kind of facing what we've seen lately at the national level, where you have a Republican split. And even within that Republican split, it splits four or five times, depending on why people are upset or why they don't like it. And so there doesn't seem to be a consensus right now. The Democrats, ironically, agree with the Republican governor. And our advocates here who want the health care, they're thrilled that they're going to be getting it at this point. But everyone's watching the Supreme Court, the Ohio Supreme Court, to see what they do with that lawsuit right now.
Divisions in Ohio. Is there an apparent consensus in Vermont, Charlotte Albright?
Well, I first need to say that Vermont is the only state that has required every single employer with fewer than 50 employees, 50 or fewer, to buy their insurance through the exchange. That's because our Democratic governor has used this as what he hopes is an on-ramp eventually to single payer. So it's mandatory for so many people in Vermont. So I think there's a sense of, okay, we better do this. And the other interesting thing about Vermont is that before this ACA came along, we had a pretty high rate of insured people. We only had 7% uninsured. So everybody is sort of used to paying for insurance. And I think the third thing is that, you know, we have $170 million in federal grants to operate this exchange, and that's real money. And it seems to be something that people are, if not embracing, some people are resigned to it, and other people are thrilled, especially people at the lower end of the economic spectrum who are going to do better than they have before.
Well, Charlotte Albright, certainly the size of the state of Vermont helps here, and the size of the state of Texas is one of the complications. Veronica Zaragovia, before we go down there in Austin, Texas, you're really seeing the sociological issues of trying to really get the message into the various demographic groups that are going to have to buy into this for it to work, right?
Right. And for instance, when we heard from Angelica Noyola earlier, she was talking to me at a car show. And so these people are going out to either at Dia de los Muertos event or wherever they can reach out to the Latino community, because by 2020, it's estimated that the majority of the Texas population will be Hispanic. And this is a state with the highest rate of the uninsured in the country. So it's in the interest of people who want the Affordable Care Act to succeed to get Latinos enrolled.
If you can't succeed with Latinos in Texas, you're not going to succeed at all. Veronica Zaragovia from KUT Austin, Texas, thanks so much.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Joe Inglis, reporter and producer for Ohio Public Radio State House News. Joe, get back to work, and thanks so much.
Well, thank you for having me.
And Charlotte Albright, reporter for Vermont Public Radio. Charlotte, thanks.
It was a pleasure.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.